Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Dan Rogers, As I Live and Breathe, here we sit. The last time we were backstage at the Grand Ole Opry, I was eating macaroni and cheese and a pulled pork sandwich. It was Lainey Wilson's induction. You were giving me a farm fresh frozen chicken, and now here you are in London for the first Grand Ole Opry event. Is this correct? Outside of the United States?
Outside the United States, yeah. First broadcast outside the United States.
And listen, Dan Rogers would know because he's the senior vice president and executive producer of the Grand Ole Opry. We know that you're celebrating your 100th anniversary, birthday this year because we've been talking about it endlessly. But
Thank you.
A way to celebrate it coming over to the UK.
Yeah, you know, when we started thinking about how to celebrate, it was really at the top of the list.
Like, when did you start thinking about how to celebrate?
Well, honestly, I've worked at the Opry 27 years, and you'd be surprised how many times the 100th came up when we were talking about the 75th. You
right,
know,
okay,
and like,
yeah.
maybe that's for 100. So truly, the entire time I've worked at the Opry, but really over the past couple of years, really beginning to think about what we wanted to do and when. And as I said, a trip to London was first on the list.
You've been doing a lot of celebrating this year.
You can tell.
the face cream is working. You look fine. And with the flight as well, it's all good. But, you know, you've got 100 debuts at the Grand Ole Opry. There's been kind of a year-long celebration.
We're celebrating the 100 greatest songs in country music all year, as voted on by Opry fans. And just, yeah, a whole lot of really special shows.
Wait, have you counted all those down yet? Or are you doing it throughout the year?
We'll do it throughout the year, and we'll announce them all. We'll have them all announced by about this time next month or so.
Oh, my God.
And then people were going to vote on their all-time favorite through the rest of the year.
Right. That's tricky.
Do you have a prediction?
I mean, it's going to be Dolly Parton, surely. It's got to be a Dolly Parton song.
Patsy Cline, George Jones.
Oh, listen, I mean,
it's The Gambler.
A wealth of things to pick from, for sure.
Which is what makes it fun.
Yes, but... Well, I'm going to vote for Dolly Parton.
There you go. Which Dolly Parton?
That's the tricky situation right there.
I Will Always Love You.
I mean, I'm fond of you.
I get that a lot.
it's a tricky situation, that, though. But what fun to, like, think about all of the iconic artists, the iconic songs that have been performed on that stage.
Yeah, that's what country music... I mean, that's what the Opry is, you know, 100 greatest songs, and then the 100 greatest songs after that, over the course of 100 years.
Well, listen, we want to know what yours is. Let us know at Absolute Radio Country on Instagram. We'll pass it along to Dan. But talking about what the Opry is, now, one thing that I've noticed, I think we take it for granted in country music that everybody understands and knows exactly what the Opry is. But of course, there are more and more people coming into country music every day, and we're seeing it. You know, it's the fastest growing genre in the UK. It has been for several years. I know that it's having a real boom time in America, where it's always been massive. It's even bigger lately. So let's not assume that everybody knows what the Opry is. And I've noticed that since we've done this announcement that the Grand Ole Opry Live in London is coming, people on social media falling all over themselves, excited. Other people going, oh, hold on a minute. What's the Grand Ole
exactly.
Opry? So let's just pretend like we've never heard of the Grand Ole Opry. How would you explain it to people?
So it's a few things. One, it's the world's longest running radio show. The Opry began as a radio show back in 1925. It has since become really the home of country music for artists and fans. You know, people like Garth Brooks and Ashley McBride and Luke Combs grow up dreaming of hitting that Opry stage for the first time and maybe someday becoming an Opry member. And simultaneously, people from around the world dream of coming and seeing the Opry for the first time themselves. So there's a 6-foot circle of wood center stage that was taken from the Ryman Auditorium, a former home of the Opry, where the greats, Patsy Cline, Johnny Cash, Hank Williams, you know, the folks who really pushed country music to new heights, where they played. And so as an artist, you dream of standing on that stage. And day after day, I see fans from around the world who are on tours, and it means just as much to them to be crossing that stage and standing there and looking out at 4,400 seats that are filled now these days, 5, 6, 7 nights a week. And then I will just add, the show itself, this Opry show, in addition to being home of country music, is where you can see the past, present, and future of country music unfold before your eyes or hear it on the radio every single time it plays.
Yeah, every night there's a mixture of all of those things. And you're talking about that circle there. That's when people talk about stepping into the circle.
Or, that's it.
That is a circle. It is a physical circle of wood from the Ryman that icons and legends have cried on.
Like that night that you were, that we saw each other last at the Opry, you had Lainey Wilson, mm-hmm. who, as you heard that night, came to the Opry at age 9 as a fan and thought, that's what I want to do with my life. But then you also had Wynonna there who, you know, Lainey had looked up to all of her life. And you had artists younger than Lainey who are coming along behind her and doing great things themselves. So
yeah, it is the pinnacle. It is the kind of number one bucket list for country artists and to play at the Grand Ole Opry. And now it is coming for the first time internationally to London, to the iconic Royal Albert Hall. This is happening on the 26th of September. This is one night only. And the lineup, Luke Combs, Darius Rucker, Marty Stewart, Ashley McBride, Carly Pearce. There's going to be some UK artists announced there as well. So obviously this is to celebrate the 100. We're doing it in the UK, in London, at an iconic venue that has a storied past and a storied future as well. You know, it's one of the most important venues in the world. So it makes sense that you're doing it there. Are you just going to do it this year? Are you just like, oh, we'll do that, and then we'll do it when we're 200 again? Are you going to come back?
So I don't think that we can possibly ignore what an impact country music is making around the world. Mm-hmm. And we love to see folks from around the world coming to visit us in Nashville. So there's no way we'll be you haven't seen The Last of Us, is what I'm saying,
Sure. Let's talk about what it means to be a member of the Grand Ole Opry, because, you know, so many artists come through these doors, and they will, like, I was there when, as you were just saying, when Lainey was inducted as a member of the Grand Ole Opry. We talk a lot about artists have just been invited to make their debut, which is different than becoming a member. What does it mean to be a member of the Grand Ole Opry?
I would say membership in the Grand Ole Opry is all about a relationship. The relationships you have, an artist has with other members of the Opry, the relationship a member has with fans of the Opry, and kind of with the Opry itself. The Opry, as I said, is so many things, but one of the things it is this great, great community. And we'll just mention Lainey, since she's a new artist and we talked about her. It just felt so apparent that she was family from the get-go. Mm. You know, she comes along and it's like the Opry is where she decided, man, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a country artist. And to see her interacting with folks who had been there 30 and 40 years, it just made sense. And now as she's a member, she's brought along younger artists and said, hey, you need to be a part of this Opry thing that I'm a part of. And she's gone out on the road and talked about the Opry to fans, mm-hmm. Who may not know, you know, what it is. So it's that relationship, and the relationship's different. every time, but I always kind of look at it like when you're asked to become an opera member, it's a little like a marriage. There's the proposal, and it's like, do you really want to spend the rest of your life as an opera member, the rest of your career? And does the Opry feel like you're the type of artist that we'll be excited about having on our roster for the rest of our years as well?
How many members are there, do you know?
So there are currently just over 70. And we've
So only 70.
And we've had that are current living folks, and then just over 200 in our entire history. So, yeah.
Oh, wow,
with
okay.
100 years of history behind you, it is a pretty elite fraternity.
And you get a mailbox backstage
You get a mailbox backstage.
Because, I mean, this is from the days when, and I'm presuming it still happens, but from the days when everybody, the only way to kind of contact your favorite star was to send them a letter.
Oh, exactly.
And they
exactly.
would just go, Dolly Parton, Grand Ole Opry, stick it in the mailbox, and it showed up.
And I will tell you, these days, more than half of the fan mail that comes in is from outside the United States.
Really?
Like people, I think just from around the world, love to think, if I address this to Dolly Parton at the Grand Ole Opry, maybe, just maybe, you know, she'll give her birthday card.
Well, I mean, it happens though, doesn't it? Because then if those artists are playing, you know, they come in the stage door and the mailboxes are right there.
Oh, it's charming, yeah. Like some people will come in and sit down just right at the mailboxes and sit and look at their fan mail. And so it's fun.
You know, we talked about that circle. What are you going to do about that at the Royal Albert Hall? Are you going to bring it over? You can't bring it over.
Could we bring it over?
Could you?
Well, we're working on the best thing to do there.
Are you carving another hole in the Ryman floor and bringing that over?
That's the way we're getting rid of staff members.
Okay. But there will be a circle at the Royal Albert Hall.
If you complain about working too hard at Opry 100,
yes.
You go over where that where there used to be a stage.
Okay, so we're going to wait and see.
A lot of we introduced a new mic stand this year, and so we'll bring those mic stands
right.
as well. There'll be, I love the fact that there's going to be great Opry iconography. Like you'll be able to tell you're at something really special, but you'll also know that you're in the historic Royal Albert Hall as well
yes.
when you're looking on stage. So it is a perfect marriage of the past, present, and future, and of this great American show doing its first broadcast outside the United States.
And our good friend Kelly Sutton, who does the Nashville show here on Absolute Radio Country every day, she is an announcer at the Grand Ole Opry. This is where it's like radio and stage together, because it's going out on the radio. Kelly, obviously, one of the many things she does, radio host, but now and has been for a couple of years now.
She is so much fun.
Yes.
I love to get her, because as you say, like she'll go out on stage and introduce a Garth Brooks or Trisha Yearwood or Jeannie Seely or whoever it may be. And then she'll come around and we'll talk about whatever we want to talk about and
gossip.
What's coming up. And she's just phenomenal at her job. She'll be great over here. Looking forward to
that. So she's coming over to host it here.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about a few other things here. So the Lainey party was in this wonderful room backstage at the Grand Ole Opry. Do you rent that out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, can people have it? Because I think our buddy Charlie Worsham, did he get married there?
He did. Yeah.
So, it's like an event space as well.
So, yeah, you can tour it during the day as well.
Yeah.
Hee Haw, the classic show Hee Haw, was filmed back there.
Is that where Hee Haw
mm-hmm.
was filmed?
For about 20 of its 30 years.
I grew up on Hee Haw. If you don't know, Hee Haw was like a musical variety show, as the name would suggest, with a country slant.
Some corny jokes.
Yeah, with some very corny jokes in a cornfield. I didn't know Hee Haw was filmed.
But yeah, when you come to Nashville and see an Opry show, you can also go back in Studio A during the day, take a tour. As I said, the tour would include stepping across the circle. And then another really special aspect of the Opry House, in addition to the mailboxes and my office, et cetera, is every dressing room is themed special to something in country music or something related to the Opry. So in some cases, it's past Opry members, and some we have a room just for people making their Opry debuts,
right.
And there are great quotes on the wall from what people had to say when they were on stage, or maybe looking back. And as you're leaving that room, the last time before you go out on stage for the first time, if you look above the door, you'll read, "Oh my God, I'm on the Grand Ole Opry. Taylor Swift."
It's a really special place backstage because I've been lucky enough to be back there a few times, and it's not like a lot of places backstage. It's so friendly and open, and everybody's excited to be there. It's kind of an unwritten rule, it seems, that if the door's open, come on in.
Yeah.
And if it's not. So it's a really communal space for everyone. And everybody, whether you're making your debut or whether you've been there 100 times, everybody's excited to be there.
And I'll tell you, like, from my perspective as executive producer of the show, there are a lot of ways I kind of measure success of the show. Like, are we selling out five nights a week? Do we have enough chickens? Did we have four standing ovations whatsoever, or what have you? But one way I measure success is like backstage hopping.
Yeah.
You know, like, are there, do I round the corner and see people, artists who aren't even on the show that just wanted to come support another artist, and folks who are there just to have fun?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, artists,
it's a hangout.
Laughing in a dressing room, or playing guitar in a dressing room. Like a Charlie Worsham. Like, does he stop by and is just jamming with somebody one particular night? So
one of the things I ask people when we're talking about backstage at the Grand Ole Opry is if they have iced tea or if they have lemonade, or do they mix them? I mean, in that green room, the popcorn has even become iconic. You get free popcorn backstage. There's a green room with popcorn and snacks and lemonade and iced tea and all that.
Thank goodness the popcorn's iconic. Because imagine if it was like a high-priced item that we had to provide for free.
So, yeah.
Just thank goodness we went popcorn. With popcorn.
You made the right decision there. We talked about the chickens, which is something I also mentioned to people a lot. And when we first met, I talked about this.
If I could choose one thing for you to be talking about the Grand Ole Opry, it would be chicken.
Well, Dan, you'll be pleased to know that every single person in this room that talks about the Opry, I ask if they gave away farm fresh frozen chickens when they played it. And half the time, they don't know what I'm talking about. And other times, they know exactly what I'm talking about. This is, for if you've missed it, this is, I was at the Grand Ole Opry once, and in the middle of the show, the sponsor was a farm fresh frozen chicken company. And in the audience, you could win a farm fresh frozen chicken, and people were so excited about winning that farm fresh frozen chicken. And I was just thinking, please don't let me win this farm fresh frozen chicken, because I cannot take this back on an international flight. And then we were talking about this at Lainey's induction. You disappeared, and 10 minutes later, you showed up and presented me with a farm fresh frozen chicken, and we have the pictures to prove it.
I have a theory.
Yes, okay.
And that theory is, you just love to say the word farm fresh frozen chicken.
I'm just trying to give it its appropriate title.
You know how we were talking about, like, the Opry, for somebody like me, it's so hard to define. One of the really fun aspects of the show is it still is a radio show. It's still has that element that started in 1925. So you do get a Kelly or whoever jumping in every once in a while with, hey, like, here's a band spotlight presented by whoever. And if you're seated in section 12, row 5, you just won a
farm fresh frozen chicken. And then you hear from the audience, ah!
And it's also great when the audience boos the section when they aren't a winner.
Dan Rogers, Senior Vice President, Executive Producer of the Grand Ole Opry, the show that made country music famous, is going global for the first time in its 100-year history, making its international debut September 26th. Coming over to the Royal Albert Hall for one extraordinary night. Tickets, absoluteradio.co.uk/ticket. So, just before I let you go, Dan, I don't know if you know this or not, and I can't believe that this hasn't been on the highlights reel of the Opry 100, but, you know, I've played the Grand Ole Opry.
Tell me about this.
I'd rather you tell me about it, Dan. No, when I was in my early 20s in New York City, I was in a nationwide touring production of Pinocchio the Musical. It's how I got my union card, and one of our sit-down dates was at the Grand Ole Opry. Because presumably you also rent, I mean, I wasn't on the Grand Ole Opry, but we were on the stage. You rented out for touring productions and things
Beautiful.
Like that, right, during the day.
You played the Grand Ole Opry house.
I played the Grand Ole Opry in that circle. And, my mother is she's a nonplussed Southern woman. And the only time that she's ever remotely been outwardly excited about anything that I've done, all she wants for me is to be on QVC. That's her number one goal for me. I have yet to achieve that.
What does she want you to sell on QVC?
Anything.
Okay.
Anything. She just wants me to be. That's how she'll know that I finally made it and I'm okay. And the other was when I called her from backstage at the Grand Ole Opry.
Ah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and it was a big moment. But it was, even though obviously we were doing this musical production of Pinocchio, which is very good, by the way, Dan. If you want it back for the 100, let me know. I still have the numbers of some of the cast. But being on
can you give us a little bit?
I was Candlewick, who is Pinocchio's friend, who turns into a donkey and leads Pinocchio astray. And so I turn into a donkey. So my big number was the donkey song, where I got to hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw all day.
I mean, that's perfect for the Opry House.
Do you think there's room for it at the Royal Albert Hall?
My guess is no.
I could do it real tight.
Just like, I'll talk to people, but my guess is no.
It sounds like a yes to me. Okay.
Maybe when we come back.
Okay, for 200, summer. For the 200, the Grand Ole Opry 200, presented by Pinocchio.
And we're going to do this. When you are back at the Opry House, we'll call your mom from the executive producer's office.
Uh-oh.
Just to one-up what you did last time.
There we go. Thank you so much for that, Dan. Are you going to write a book at some point? Like when you retire.
I'd love to sometimes.
Because you must, and I'm not going to ask you for them now because we're celebrating everything that's lovely, but you must have some stories from backstage.
Let's talk about them right now.
Who's banned? No, I mean, the other thing that I've heard, and I want to know if this is true, no alcohol backstage at the Grand Ole Opry.
That's true.
Is that the official rule?
You can see for yourself when we call your mom from the executive producer's office.
Okay, excellent.
I will say this about writing a book, that one thing that's been great for me is I have kept notes from every day of this 100th year, my own sake. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of like, it'll all be okay. Like, this didn't happen, but this is going to, and that sort of thing. So that's been
I mean, that's a book in itself.
Maybe so. You would read it, right?
I would.
If we let you sing
it.
Pinocchio.
I mean, I would go
to
the index
Opry.
First and look up Pinocchio. Then I would look up Farm Fresh Frozen Chickens, and then I would read it from cover
there
to cover. Hey, it's a pleasure to see you. Thank you for coming
it's
in to
so
see us.
It's so great to see you. And you know what? I feel like we talked a lot about the Opry, but hopefully people realize it's just, from the two of us talking, it's just a lot of fun, too. Mm. It's a great thing to experience. So I hope everybody will get a chance to tune in and come see us. And we're really thankful for the hospitality here and looking so forward to September 26th.
Yeah, so come on September 26th to the Grand Ole Opry live in London. And if you're in Nashville, go to the Grand Ole Opry itself. Just before we go, one of the things that I always say to people, and one of the things that I notice when I'm at the Grand Ole Opry, is I think that it's one of the few, it's the only venue that I've experienced in the world that I've been to where the artists on stage and the audience who are there are just as excited to be there. And they're not there because you don't, by and large, book a ticket to the Grand Ole Opry because of who you're going to see that night. You book a ticket to the Grand Ole Opry to go to the Grand Ole Opry. And as hard and as long as artists who are on that stage have been dreaming about being on that stage, I know for a fact from growing up where I grew up in Tennessee, the audience have been dreaming about being there for that long as well. You know, if you're anywhere in the States or around the world and you're a country music fan, certainly when I was growing up, going to the Grand Ole Opry as an audience member was the pinnacle as well. That is something that for years you would say, one day we're going to go to the Grand Ole Opry. We're going to save up money. We're going to drive across country. We're going to do whatever. One day I'm going to be sitting in the audience at the Grand Ole Opry. And it's the only venue I think in the world that I've been to where you feel that energy and that synergy between the audience who have been dreaming about being there for years and the acts who have been dreaming about playing the Grand Ole Opry. The energy absolutely matches. And the moment you walk through those doors, it truly is electric. I get chills every single time because you don't just feel it from the stage. You feel it from the entire building and everybody that's there.
It's my mission and the staff's mission to make sure every single show spotlights the past, present, and future of country music, but also is just the best show it can possibly be from curtain going up to curtain going down. And I really do think about, like, how much I loved it as a kid. And, you know, there's folks discovering the Opry for the first time that night, and we want it to be great so that they come back again, kind of no matter who was on the show that night. Collectively, it was a really, really great show and a memorable experience. And then every once in a while, you get lucky and
you get a chicken.
You know, and a chicken. I was going to say, and Garth Brooks shows up.
Oh, right, okay.
But every once in a while, one out of the 4,400 people does win a chicken. You're right.
Come win a chicken at the Grand Ole Opry, live in London, 26th of September. Dan Rogers, thank you so much.
I love you all. Thank you so much.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.